next thing on the agenda is a town hall meeting in which you can give us some feedback about how we can do this sort of thing better. I'd like to introduce the director of the ITP, who will lead us in that discussion, David Gross.
Well, welcome to all of you. I'm sorry I wasn't here at the beginning of this conference. I just flew in from Toronto about an hour ago, and I obviously missed some wonderful talks, and looks like you're all having a great time as usual. And I'm sure you're all looking forward to, so am I, to the next talk. This is the third of a series of conferences, meetings for high school teachers that we've held in conjunction with our activities at the ITP, with our conferences or our workshops. And the idea is to take advantage of what's going on here and the people who are present to try to bring to a community of people who are working hard in the trenches to teach the scientists of the future what's going on at the frontiers of science. And I see many people who've been here before and obviously have enjoyed these conferences. And as you know, part of the proceedings here is that we have a meeting during the conference in which we try to get some feedback or comments or suggestions or reactions from you all. You also got a survey form. You should all have it. And if you don't, somebody could help pass them out now. We really would appreciate your filling this out. And perhaps addressing some of these issues, as well as anything else you want to bring up during the discussion now, or just ask us anything you want, or your colleagues. Mostly we're interested in the reaction to this format and suggestions about how we might improve it in the future, both in its outreach and in its content and what else we might be able to do with the limited amount of resources that we have available. This is the third in the series. The first was on black hole physics. The second was on high temperature superconductivity. This one is, of course, on string theory. We'll try, I think I will try to organize one in about a year from now or a little later in the fall of 2002, perhaps on cosmology. We'll be having a program. But we're interested in your reactions. And one of the things we were interested in last time and we're still interested in is our attempts at reaching out across the country, especially to people who haven't been here before. We have a very loyal clientele. I know that many of you are new, but many of you have been here at least once, if not twice. And we're still, although the response to this conference was excellent, and we clearly had to turn people away, we did send out something over 10,000 invitations around the country, and did a lot of advertising in ways that some of you suggested, and we're still somewhat surprised that the response is so small. That perhaps is just an indication of the situation in high school science around the country. But any kind of suggestions as to how we might improve that situation would be useful. Another question that isn't actually on the sheet here that I'm interested in is has to do with the web. As you know, I hope, everything we do here, including this conference, is put on the web. So for example, all the transparencies or presentations, including the audio, will be on the web tomorrow and available to you and your colleagues who couldn't get here and the students and so on. But if you have, I'd be interested in your comments as to as to how we might make use or provide a service with the stuff that's on our web. If you've looked at our website, and it would be interesting to know how many of you have actually looked at our website. Wow. Well, that's nice. That's great. So if you've looked at our website and gone through it, you'll notice that there's a lot of material there. There are maybe 2,000 or more hours of physics of various forms, ranging from high school, ranging from conferences like this to our standard scientific conferences or our seminars, public lectures, lots of different kinds of material. You might also have some reaction as to how well set up the website is and how easy it is to navigate in it. We're trying actually to improve it for a variety of reasons and construct a more public part of the web that would be directed not to the professional physicists, but to the wider public. And any suggestions about how we might do that in a way that you could use in your classes or your students could use would be useful. Brian? You're a speaker, right? Yep. So I'll stop speaking and turn the floor over to you. If any of the other speakers has any comments to make, I'll give them the floor at this point. Otherwise, we'll just be open to your comments or suggestions or questions or whatever. Yeah, and please use the mic or a mic. Do any of you want to add anything? Okay. So the floor is yours. You have to. I think it would be good to use the mic so that we can all hear you.
These conferences seem to me very interesting and fulfilling for physics teacher. Is it any way that we can extend these one-day conferences to maybe 2 or 3 days that we can take more and there is more interaction between teachers and the faculty?
In principle, one can do everything. The constraints are partly monetary. We have limited resources, and partly we're using this is piggybacking on other efforts. So we're using the resources of people who are participating in our programs and who volunteered for this. They might volunteer for a day, and by and large, they enjoy this enormously, as I do. But 3 days might be a bit much. So that's a problem. Also, the other thing is, we're very good. I mean, I think what we can offer is a presentation. What you've heard today is science at the frontier. But there have been some suggestions that this be widened and we discuss educational policy and how to educate students and have interchanges between programs. And that's not really what we're good at. And we don't know that much about it. So we're a little wary about trying to extend in that direction.
Just a suggestion from your website. I've listened to some of the lectures, and there are two things that might help our students, because not all schools are on the internet or they're close to being internet ready. And my thought, and also if you don't have a fast line, there are sort of buffering problems. So my thought is maybe some of the previous lectures that you have for educators, your past two conferences and some of the others, might be put on a CD-ROM that you made available to us. And we'd certainly purchase that. And, you know, that would be really neat. And then for some of us who are fortunate enough to be within driving distance of the school, if there was ever a way where we could sort of sit in the back and promise to keep our mouths shut but listen to some of your other lectures, would be great.
Well, I'm not sure about using them in the car. They might be too dangerous. But we are, in fact, starting to put stuff on CDs. That turns out to be very easy to do. And we've already made some CDs, in fact, of some of our stuff. And that's a very good idea. I'm not sure how we would distribute them, but any suggestions would be useful. Sorry? Yeah, they're not very expensive. I think the more difficult problem for us would be distributing them, collecting a small fee, and advertising them in a way. But I suppose we could do this again over the web, perhaps. So, I mean, it certainly is possible, I gather, right? Back there? For us to put, for our wonderful staff to put this whole conference on one CD and then distribute it. It makes it slightly easier than, it's essentially the same material that's on the web, but it perhaps is somewhat easier to deal with. We might, in fact, think about doing that. If we were to do so, what would be the best way of informing not just you, but, you know, 10 times you? That would be, I mean, we need to go about thinking about how to circulate this and advertise it.
I think the one-day format is about right. I'm very happy with that. I would like to see on the web or, you know, as handouts here, a little bit of data. And, you know, we have to be really careful about that as for our high school students. But Dr. Aguri's equations, I think, they're digestible by high school level physics students. And if we could have a little bit of the data, you know, five minutes of your data is probably an hour and a half for us to go through and digest. But that I would find that very beneficial, real live, you know, cutting edge physics data, you know, on the website would be easy.
By data you mean what?
Well, you know, I don't even know, but you know, some some of the redshift, just some actual numbers to put into those. To those equations that Dr. Aguri had up there.
Well, if you asked Hiroshi very nicely, he might be willing to add a few transparencies with real numbers to his.
Well, actually, it would be enormously useful also from our point of view to present it that at the level that you're looking for, the level of presentation that you're looking for. When I was preparing for it, I had several conversations with my colleague what would be the appropriate level. And one thing that came up from this conversation, which I tried to do that, was to present it at the level of high school students so that some of the material you listen to could be conveyed to your student. And so I tried to do it, but not being educated in this country, I may not have succeeded in that. So I very much appreciate your feedback about the level of presentation that you're listening here.
I thought it was just right. You know, it was nice, simple algebraic equations. I would like to see, like, the 1987 supernova, you know, some numbers out of that. I don't know if you have anything that, you know, makes sense
it's
to us.
If you go to have your hand there with
question that Hiroshi asked you all. How many of you agree that the presentations you heard today were at about the right level? How many of you think that they could have been tougher? Should have been tougher. How many of you think they were too difficult? Okay, well, we hit it on the nail.
As a new person to the program this year, I'd like to just, first of all, thank you for making this available. This is the only program like this I know of its kind anywhere. I'm not aware of any kind of program like this. I don't know how you got my name, one of those 10,000 people. I got the cool color flyer, you know, but I'm so glad that I did get it. And I wouldn't want you to think that that this is a bad turnout for 10,000 mailings, because there's so many people who might have wanted to come, who couldn't get the time off, couldn't get the money, whatever. So I think I was pleased to see this many people. I had no idea how many to expect. It is such a wonderful thing to be able to have a conference like this, for us to be able to go back and teach kids about what science is like at this time. Almost all of the science we do is stuff that we have received from our classes before, science that has been done some numbers of dozens or hundreds of years ago. And there's certainly a value to that, but there's a great value to determining how science works. It's great to be teaching about something that we're still in the middle of that isn't resolved yet, and that's a wonderful gift, and I so appreciate that. Something else that would be neat to talk about at some point in this conference would be the nature of what it means to say you know something in science anymore. The whole idea, as some people have alluded to, how do we prove these things? Well, there's something to be said about, I think, internal consistency and the way these things keep coming up with reliable post-dictions. I think we may need, as a culture, to redefine what science is, how science works, because it may not be possible to do science the way we've done it in the past with some of these theories that are pressing us so far. We may have to come up with new standards of what it means to say we know something in science, which I think is a fascinating issue, too.
Any comments? Whether we should redefine science?
My name is Catherine Borgard, and I was here 3 years ago, and at that point in time, I don't know how we did it, but we managed to get a small group of students to come with us. And they belonged to a math and science club. And these students were highly motivated, highly interested. And I know it's packed out, and I know we're trying to get more teachers involved. But if there's a way that ITP can do on a separate conference, I know there are graduate students, I know there are students throughout the whole of UCSB who would give their eye teeth just to be here, but if there's a way that we could do it also for the high school students so that they have motivation to continue on, that would be an excellent service. That's one thing. And the other thing about, I don't know about everybody else, but I do know that I just got done with over a week worth of testing. I've got, there's 2 weeks of AP testing, and then I have finals. And I have to move out of my classroom. And so attendance, as far as motivation and getting the teachers here, I can understand why the attendance might be a little lower. In the fall, it might be a better idea. Everybody still has energy and... Yeah, I do a lot of things in the fall, and by spring, I sleep. So, so thank you.
I mean, we've realized that a bit. I think the last conference we had was in August, which was difficult. We were told that May is a good time, comparatively speaking. But we're constrained partly by the ITP schedule and our conference schedule. And typically this will, in the case of this program, since we have so much strength in string theory here, we didn't need to do it in conjunction with a conference. But in most cases we do, and those conferences are scheduled in different criteria. So we're rather limited. I think the next one, as I said, will hopefully be, I'm not actually sure when their conference is. The program will run from August till December, so it'll be sometime in that time period. I have to convince them to do it, of course.
Yeah, kudos to the National Science Foundation for their part in this. I really appreciate this. I probably wouldn't be here with my colleague if it wasn't for the stipend. But and I really enjoy, however, is the dialogue with peers. But I also would like to know a little bit about the panelists, since I'm a public education, been in public education probably long enough with four or five other people in here that could have probably have taught the four up there. So
you'd like to know what their science, what
yeah,
their
well, I mean, a little background on their
would be very
public education.
But before we get off the thanks, and the thanks to the NSF, I think it would be very helpful for us, for the NSF, and for efforts like this, if you feel likewise, to write a letter to the NSF. You could write a letter to Joe Demmer or to Bob Eisenstein, perhaps, or directors of math and physical sciences at the NSF. If you just go on their webpage, you can forget their addresses, or Joe Demmer, who's the associate director for the physics. They are the people who, in fact, gave us the support when we had this idea. And such a letter from you, or from some of you, or from all of you, believe me, would be enormously valuable for us to continue and expand this effort. And also, it would recognize the fact that bureaucrats in Washington sometimes do good things and should be thanked and complimented for doing that. So that's an interesting idea. I think the high school teachers might be interested in the speaker's high school experiences and how they survived as scientists through high school. Bob Eisenstein, who is the director of mathematical and physical sciences at the National Science Foundation.
Maybe you want to write it down.
The only trouble is I might misspell them. let's see. Okay, Robert. Eisenstein. Director. MPS is probably enough. At the NSF. We could actually get it off the web and provide it for you.
We could probably look it up during the break.
We'll look it up during the break and fill it out. Let me do this during the break, and it'll be here during my talk and all. So, Joe.
Can you speak? Okay. Well, I went to public high schools, public schools in the United States, as I think many of us did. The positive thing I remember is I think we all had one or two teachers who at some point really influenced us, and I remember one, it was a junior high school math teacher who, you know, noticed I had these interests and enabled me to follow them on my own. So, you know, that was a very positive thing. I guess for me, I actually had a couple years when I fell through the cracks because it was a small school, it didn't have a lot of advanced courses. And I think I spent 2 years playing chess instead of studying science or math. And I survived it, and it wasn't so bad. But I just fell through a crack. I mean, you know, there was no one there who sort of took responsibility and noticed that I wasn't doing anything. And maybe I should have, but I didn't have enough common sense. So when I think back on my high school experience, it was not as useful as it could have been. And I don't know. I think okay. You asked. That's what I remember.
Okay. I went to a public high school in Maryland. I guess I took a standard physics class, which you know was good. I didn't, you know, don't remember it as being spectacularly good or you know a problem. But what I do remember is a math teacher who let me go on independent study. And well, that was great because I was able to go at my own pace and cover more than I might have in the class. And I also left high school a year early, so I don't know what that says about high school, but I went to college early.
Hi. Actually, I was educated in Japan, but I went to a public high school and junior high school. As I said at the beginning, that there was a nice science teacher in junior high school who actually, in addition to the regular teaching, he made lots of printouts with interesting problems that the problem he thought would be interesting and encouraged us to solve, and that was a lot of fun. And in high school, actually, I did very badly with physics. I'm not sure whether this has anything to do with it. But I belong to something called biology club. And we didn't do many biology experiments there, but we just mostly we sat around with fellow student and also the teacher and discussed various things. And that was very interesting. I think that it helps, for motivated students, I think that they just mostly learn by themselves, but they really, a little bit of direction would help enormously, like the kind of books that would be interesting. Just what I remember is very little thing that those teachers showed me, like the interesting book to read, and that kind of little push goes a long way in my experience, and so that's what I seem to remember in my experience. And this biology teacher was very good because he was encouraging for us to talk about various things in science, and it was very important for me to communicate with my fellow friends about those. So that's what I remember about science in junior high school and high school.
I also went through the public school system. For me, it was in Manhattan. And the high school I went to was Stuyvesant High School, which, although public, it's supposedly one of the specialized science high schools in Manhattan, although I can't really say that there was really an emphasis on science. It was just an emphasis on students that were usually pretty motivated to learn stuff. But I think for me, and I don't know how relevant this is, but the most influential relationship I guess I had with the teacher was when I was in junior high school and had kind of exhausted the math offerings that they had. I had a teacher who just wrote a little note. I actually happened to see it once. It sort of, you know, said this kid's kind of smart and can use him as a guinea pig, that kind of thing, and he just gave it to me. And I just went with my sister, and we walked around the Columbia University campus and just shoved this note into faculty members' hands, and most of them kind of looked at it like, what is this? And like two little orphan kids walking around asking for food. But I happened to give it to somebody at some point, and he was a grad student in math, and he just took me on, you know, for free. We didn't have any money or anything. And, you know, once a week over all the summers, you know, I would just go in and he'd teach me all this math, and I'd go home and read all this stuff and meet with him again. And that ability to have somebody to guide you along so you can just go at a pace that isn't restricted by a curriculum is what really made the difference, I think, for me.
Considering most of the participants here are from California, I somewhat fear for my life at even mentioning this. And I know the close ties that this conference has a lot of times with previous week's works that have gone on. But have you ever considered offering this sort of conference in another location of the country?
I sense that people... no, I mean, we... One of the reasons we can do things like this at reasonable costs is because we have the infrastructure built into the institute. So the marginal cost of doing something here is relatively small. Whereas if we were to hold it in, say, I'm not exactly sure where you'd like, Kansas City, or then it would be very expensive. You'd have to bring in all the staff. I mean, we have a lot of people who you saw helping you yesterday and today, and you've been in contact with, who are here all year round, and this is just an extra responsibility. If we had to hire such people to do it in someplace else, it would be enormously expensive. So, no.
I guess I have more of a comment than a question per se, but it sounded like as you were asking this, and in our opinion, maybe a little bit of self-doubt in your own minds about, you know, the fiscal end of this, and does it trickle down to the students that we're in contact with, and is there a, you know, a long-term benefit to all this? And this is my first time here at the conference. I haven't been to it before, despite the fact that I am local here in Santa Barbara. But I have found it enormously interesting and enormously educational. I teach Santa Barbara City College, and of course I teach a first-year physics course. And of course we do the old classical physics stuff. It's well established. We have a well-defined curriculum. But my success in teaching has been in part that I've been able to motivate the students and keep them interested. And so this conference, what I've taken away from it so far, certainly has given me an education in an aspect that I have not been exposed to, string theory. My graduate work happened to be in photonics, and so I really know nothing about this end of it other than here and there. And this is neat because this is cutting edge. That and the other ones you mentioned, black holes and cosmology, students ask questions about this, and they're real excited about it. And you know, I can make a dull student excited, but at the same time, I can make an excited student bored and leave the field. But anyway, I have come along from this. I think you guys have done a fantastic job. I was sitting there thinking, okay, what could be better? I don't know. We got a chance to sit down with during the lunch. It was fantastic. I got asked questions. The speakers were great. You guys hit your audience. You know, you knew who you were talking to. I don't think you missed the beat there. One day, I think more than one day, really would be more than a commitment, certainly, than I could have made, so I wouldn't have made it again. For, you know, I would have skipped the third one, it's, especially this time of year, as you want to say. Well, I can go on and on, but I really didn't find anything that really could be improved upon, but I didn't want to just sit there and say, you know what, I hope nobody says all that. And so I want you to know that, and I will write that letter. But the last comment then, I think something that we could do, and maybe the strong or the lack of turnout that you may feel, is it would really not be from anything you could change, but maybe something we could change, that we could send a letter that a lot of my communications or my reading are actually in physics teacher. And if you want to advertise on the next one, I mean, that's where you're going to, I think, reach us. Is in physics teacher.
Might have. Yeah. We did advertise for what it's worth. But personal testimonials, I think, probably go a lot further, so that would be welcome, yes.
You've made a comment this time. I've been blessed or fortunate to be at all three of these conferences. And the comment that's been made at the beginning or end of most of the conferences is, well, is this really worthwhile? I mean, we're trying to justify ourselves here. And in my humble opinion, if you really want, you have to define what worthwhile is, but if you want to make a humongous difference, I looked at the very first time we were here, there were students here, and I was very envious because my kids weren't invited, and I was going to sneak in some of my kids the next one, but you guys managed to do it during the summer, which made it very hard for that to happen. If you want to make a difference long-term, giving the opportunity for one student per teacher, would be make a phenomenal difference, because those kids, they get so excited when they have the opportunity to meet the people that are making the news. They come back, they can do 10 times more for the rest of the class than I can, and they're more likely than not to go on and say, you know, I've majored in physics, and that Institute of Theoretical Physics might have been a good place to look at, you know, for further down the line. So it's good for you, and I think it's good for us.
Probably. If we keep it here, as you see, we're limited, and it would be interesting to get your reaction. We could, if we wanted to open it up, it's space and money. I mean, so we would have to restrict the number of you that can come, increase the number of students. And some of them, I suppose, the rich ones or the well-to-do ones, but and then perhaps we could open it up and hold it in a big auditorium. But you would lose a lot of that. The, you know, what is special about this place, the intimate connection, the atmosphere that we have at the ITP, if it was just held at a large auditorium. But okay.
Well, first of all, I wasn't even, when I was in college, the standard model didn't even exist. So I never learned about any of those. You know, it was electron, proton, neutron, that was it. Couple comments. One is to the gentleman there. He probably learned more from playing chess for 2 years than he did in his classes. And also, I was really excited to hear about the mentoring that Brian mentioned, because I teach all minority students. And when I hook them up during the summer in research labs, I don't care that they're going to become cancer researchers or working with a laser, but they come back and they know what they're going to do and they do what they have to do to get to college. It makes such an amazing difference. That would be a wonderful thing if you could encourage your graduate students to mentor kids. It just is an amazing difference. And the other point is, I would like to see more modern physics in our curriculum, both at the high school and at the college level. My own daughters, who suffered through physics in college, never heard about all this wonderful stuff, even though I told them. But and a lot of my students aren't ever going to be exposed to it, and they should be. They shouldn't have, you know, they're not, most people don't take a second year of physics. So I'm very interested in your feeling about pushing it down into the introductory levels. Thank you.
I'd like to reiterate the kudos that have been mentioned here. And I just had another idea that I was going to share with regard to utilizing the web might help us disseminate some of these things. Perhaps, maybe, I don't know if the staffing would allow this, but you could have someone maybe put together some links related to the theme of that particular topic of the conference. And then I know I've found places on the web like sciencespirit.com that has relativity and quantum theory tutorials, you know, animated, that are just good. They're accessible for us in the classroom, and then we can kind of take all these ideas we heard today, and then having those is quite helpful.
Hello. One of the main reasons I'm here actually is because actually I'm a patsy for a microphone, and whenever there's a microphone available, I have to talk into it. I would like to make an important point. You four people up there are familiar to me through having read papers about string theory, having read Brian Greene's book. Hey, you people are alive. You're really human beings. You know, you're not just a bunch of names. Polchinski, I read about in Brian's book something about an interaction he had with Polchinski. I know who you are now. Hey, you're a guy. You're not a name. I think this program is very. Hello. I want to say I think this program is very valuable. I can go away feeling that, hey, there are human beings there. I mean, you're not a bunch of old men. You're very youthful, relatively speaking. and I feel, I really feel gifted in that I had a chance to come here and really see four people, not just a bunch of names. Thanks for being here.
As far as the actual conference has been, I can say that for my needs, it's probably been as close to perfect as it could be. I mean, I think it's been really fantastic. You identified another problem that I think you're concerned about, which is how to sort of get it so things that are actually happening in a larger number of high schools. And I would suspect what needs to happen is that you need to, one way to address that would be to figure out which college teachers are really educating large numbers of high school, you know, science teachers, and really find some way of encouraging them to be more familiar with it, because I think it's real hard once you get out of college and you're actually in a classroom to say, come back and say, well, you know, this weekend I'm going to learn about string theory. And then, so I think that might be your sort of best entry into that problem. But I hope you wouldn't replace this conference with something like that, because for me this has been fantastic.
I had to come back. I have to say that I'm really very, delighted to, know that our four speakers are products of the public educational system. That really is a delight for me to hear. And secondly, I'm thinking in terms of what you're, I mean, that really, you know, you hear so many things politically about privatization or homeschool. I mean, the fact that we have four world-class people that are public school products, be you a chess player or not, it's fantastic. Secondly, I was just thinking, some of the private schools, SC and I think even some of the Cal State schools, have an engineering day where they attract students. And I'm just thinking, if anything like that exists, where you have something that draws students for a visitation date, the ability and availability of some of maybe your younger postdocs to talk to them about some of what you're doing, if you just could fit that in, I mean, that might be doable. And I think that might draw in a number of people that would be the type of students you'd want to get if they could meet some of these type of young people. They're fantastically interesting. Thank you.
UCSB and does that, of course. Physics department has outreach programs to local schools, and there are such days on campus. The ITP is a slightly different kind of organization. It's mostly people are coming here to do science from other places. So again, that wouldn't exactly be what we're best suited for. Yeah.
I hope this microphone works. Don't go into school policy. We get that all year. We come here for the leading edge science. So don't change that. Excuse my voice.
I just have a couple of comments. One about the kinds of talks that you offer. I think the kind of talk which is hierarchical and takes you from the point which our students would typically be at, which is classical physics, F equals MA, to as far as you can go, in a continuous and reasonable way, is the kind of thing you should be focusing on. It's the road ahead for them that you want to show them, and I think, and in order to do that, I would also say that you don't want to produce, to take the overheads from these and make, copy them and then flip them onto the web, because I don't think that's particularly effective. I think that what you want, that you need a post-production at the level of the web, not at the level of grand television, but which will make those into dynamic experiences for people on the web. I mean, you can go and look at talks like this, which have been given at various places, at Princeton, at wherever, and when they've taken those talks and just sort of taken the overheads and put them on and then transcribed some text, that's been marginally useful if you're already interested. But if you're sending a kid that way and saying, you might be interested in this, and it's accessible and at this level, if it's really flat, I think you can lose them. I think that, in terms of bang for the buck, I have. I'm just saying that I think that's the place where you're going to add value here. It's in a little bit of post-production for those things. And I don't know what you spent on this, unless you wanted to tell me. And so there's a question about, how much money you're spending. You may be getting exactly what you pay for here, which is you have some great volunteers that presented some good stuff. And we've all gotten to come here and gotten some glimpse of of things to take back to our students. But that's just a glimpse, and that needs to be followed up. So this is a kind of turn-on experience for us, but it's the additional stuff coming on afterwards. I don't know if it's a CD-ROM or what, but that's where you really get the punch, which you could probably measure.
We were just two comments. We were talking at lunch with one of the
one of your grad students at our table, and he didn't get to eat a lot. We nailed him pretty hard. And then someone else, another grad student, came over and talked to us, and it was interesting because one of us asked them why they were doing what they were doing, and they both said they had teachers that motivated them to do it. And it's a wonderful, I would love to bring some of my students to this. And I understand the logistics behind why you cannot. I'm from Bakersfield. Excuse me, beautiful Bakersfield. Sorry, left that adjective out.
That wouldn't be difficult for you to go.
Well, it's not difficult from a transport standpoint, but from just fitting people in here. And I like this fact that it's small. I enjoy that. I do not want to sit in Campbell Hall and watch this happen. And I would like to bet if we surveyed a bunch of people in here, they'd probably have the same response, is that somebody, a teacher along the way, got them worked up in one way or another. And that is our job. And that's why we like coming to these things, is because it does get us motivated to maybe get them fired up. My second point is, although you may not want to get involved in educational policy, and I would not want you to, the California SAT-9 test is narrowing the focus of our curriculum to the point where we are not really allowed to teach this. Not so much allowed, I do it anyway, but if you read the 17 objectives, this is what you will know. And it's hard to get to 12 of the 17 that they give us, let alone talk about, you know, general relativity or how that applies to what we've talked about today. And I think someone, although maybe not in educational policy, at the state level, someone with a voice should get involved with discussing what goes on and what type of curriculum we're doing, because I guarantee you this is not in the state science, the physics standards for California. I'd put a year's salary on it, and we'd love to see it, but...
I had a follow-on comment about the, putting stuff on the web, and I don't think that's really your job to do that. I don't think that, or you have the time. You know, you guys are doing cutting-edge research. That's where you belong, and it's our job to take the information that you've given us and translate that, you know, so our students can understand it. So I don't expect you or think that's a worthwhile use of your time.